Good evening, beloved friends. Hi. Good afternoon, good morning, wherever this recording finds you. So, beloved friends, with this kind of conversation, it is best that you absorb the vibration, the tone, and what the words do to you. You know you're going to get a recording, so you don't really have to sit here with pen and paper. So the best thing you can do is to come into a very comfortable position. Because in a few minutes, I'm going to hide behind my screen. Because I am much more comfortable with my eyes closed, staring at I'm not staring at anything because my eyes are closed. But should I open my eyes, all I see is blackness. So before we go any further, whenever we're talking about Sophia, to the superficial ears, it's going to sound like a paradox. It's going to sound back to front, inside out, upside down. The mind will be battling for evidence and proof. And of course, it's not going to find any. So the best way you can know if anything I'm saying has some truth for you, it is because your body will respond with deep knowing. Everything I speak this evening is my own interpretation of Sophia, because the thing is with Sophia, you can't actually talk about her. You simply cannot, but you can kind of lead people to where that energy is inside of them listening. And so, beloved friends, with tremendous grace, let us hope that is what is in store for you this evening. So I'm going to go behind my little veil. I'm sat here in my bedroom, lights low, in the French Pyrenees. It's raining outside. It's 9 o'clock at night. It's dusk. So lay back. Tune into your breathing. And you'll understand why breath is so important. Unite with your breathing. Relax and soften your body. And let's see where this conversation takes us. Thank you. I would like to begin. By going straight to the core. That's Sophia. Is not a goddess. Sophia is not a feminine apparition. She's not an Ishtar, a Mary, an Isis, or a Kali. Sophia is the stream of living consciousness that animates those goddesses. And those goddesses absolutely know this. Sophia was, is, the overlighting presence behind all of the Marys in the Christ story, and the continuation of the Marys' teachings. Let us start at the beginning. Once upon a time, when the Nameless One and Sophia were laying in the warm afterglow of their original lovemaking. Together, these formless, creative forces divided in order to unite. And in their new reunification, they felt to create all that we are currently aware of and much, much more. They created universes, solar systems, powers and principalities to hold it all together in perfect and exquisite balance. This task of creating almost exhausted these two parental powers. It took everything they had to reproduce. Just like us. As we lay in the warm afterglow of full velocity lovemaking. In that wide open and expanded state, Sophia began to ask herself a very innocent, curious question. But because the field in which this question was formed was so potent and so fertile and so alive with instant manifestation, this little half sentence was conceived. This little half sentence could have been something like, I wonder if I could do this alone. This is the classic Gnostic sentence. That innocent, curious nature of nature. Sophia wondered whether she could produce offspring by herself. But it wasn't even a full sentence. It was an inner musing. Sophia saw immediately what had become of that inner musing. She saw that it instantly gathered energy and took shape like the previous creative impulses. And so she ushered a cloud and tried to hide her unexpected creation. And she pushed it far, far away. Hoping no one would notice. Hoping that it might just dissolve and go away. But this cloud didn't go away. This cloud took root and shape and form. And eventually became our solar system, our Earth. At the very center of this unexpected creation, was a pure spark of Sophia, because it has come from her mind. This pure spark is known as the Demiurge, Sophia's son. But the Demiurge does not carry the Nameless One's blessing. And so he is limited. But he is, however, tremendously powerful and creative. This Demiurge declares himself as God of the world. And from his own being, produces 7 offspring. You could say this Demiurge is Jehovah Elohim from the Garden of Eden. And these 7 offspring are the 7 deadly sins, the 7 great temptations that swerve us away from love. Sophia has been aware of what has been happening, and she has been watching from afar, aghast, concerned, and maybe even not knowing. To her disgust, she witnesses how the Demiurge is trying to create man from clay. The Demiurge and his 7 offspring shape man beautifully. They do not carry the animating agent. They cannot summon life into material. And so they create these helpless, meaningless, lost, bumbling beings that are kind of half here and half not here. Sophia is getting extremely concerned. At this point, the Nameless One knows nothing, or so it seems. Sophia, beginning to feel sick to her stomach, that her tiny little curious thought has gone on to produce life. And it's not even pure life, it's this kind of half-cocked attempt at creation, but because it is not the fullness in itself. It cannot produce the fullness. And so, Sophia sends her daughter, Zoe, who is also known as Eve. Notice the difference here. Adam has been created, but he's a bumbling mess. He does not carry its mark. Sophia's heart is broken, witnessing again and again and again these kind of zombie beings being made. And so she sends Zoe, who is Eve, who carries the breath of life. And Eve breathes life into Adam. Eve breathes life into Adam. And Adam is made human. The seven offspring known as the Archons are aghast and staggered at what has happened. And they want Eve. They want to know what she knows. Who is this being? Where has she come from? And how come she possesses such greater powers than them? So they jump on Eve. And they try to defile her. They try to take her light. They try to steal what she had and make it their own. But Eve is already one step ahead of the game and knew this would happen. And so she turns herself into the serpent and rests in a tree. And then she sends her likeness as a second Eve, impersonating her. But it's only a reflection. And the Archons, the seven offspring, do not have the wisdom to notice this. The potent version of Eve is the serpent, hiding in a tree. And the reflection is seemingly another being just like Adam and goes under the radar of the Archons, the real Eve cannot be found. You could almost say that this real Eve is Lilith. Two aspects of Sophia's daughter, guiding, shaping, crafting, counseling, tutoring mankind. As aeons pass, the situation has not remedied itself. There is a lineage of humans upon the earth, conceived by the real Adam and Eve, and they carry the breath of life. They carry their original knowing. They have been created and blessed by Sophia, which means wisdom. They know. And there are other human beings bumbling around, not really quite here nor there. Plots of earth. And they're multiplying. Sophia, in her last great act of desperation, relinquishes her divinity and absolutely plummets down to the face of the earth, just like any mother would when her offspring is in danger. The demiurge and its agents are looking to put an end to the lineage of Adam and Eve. They are dangerous. They know. They have gnosis. They know their true origins. And they know of this limited God form. And they know of the seven great temptations, and they bear no power over them. This is a dangerous strand of the human race. And the demiurge is doing all within its power to put an end to that gnosis. Sophia flees the celestial kingdoms, comes down to earth and obliterates herself, placing a shard of her own consciousness inside each and every single created human being. Every single one. This is where we are now, beloved friends. There is no full and complete Sophia. She is only operational as a stream of living wisdom inside of your own being. The ones who know this are the ones from the lineage of Adam and Eve. And they don't just know this as a little thought every now and again. This gnosis, this knowing, is clamoring for attention day and night. They are being haunted and plagued by this endless, thunderous gnosis that is demanding, needing attention followed by action. And these ones are being really called to duty for the other ones. This is not a better than or a lesser than understanding. And if you come to the quiet, deep corner of your heart, you will look around this earth and you will see there are some that do and there are some that don't. But that doesn't mean they can't. The Marys knew this. Isis and Osiris knew this. Christ knew this. Christ consciousness is the frequency and word that awakens beings to this. This was his great message. His message was turning us towards that living spark inside of our own hearts, fully awake, fully alive, fully able to guide you. And he said, it ain't easy. We will have to pass through the eye of a needle. Let us look at the greater picture. The Nameless One has not been sat there idly twiddling his thumbs, completely oblivious and not knowing. Of course not. The Nameless One knew at the beginning, as did Sophia. The Nameless One also has an agent by which it contacts us, and that is called Logos, living, penetrative word, truth. Yeshua, Jesus Christ, was overlighted by Logos. Jesus carried the ability to penetrate hearts, souls, minds, with his word. Jesus' word, Logos, touches Sophia on the inside and ignites wisdom. They need each other. Sophia's story is a mirror image of our story. It is an encoded map of awakening consciousness. And these codes, these steps and stages of the path, not only brings us into gnosis, which is direct knowing, knowing directly for yourself. Not only do these codes serve that graceful prayer, but it also retrieves more and more Sophia, more and more wisdom to the collective. We are each piecing her back together. And we have to look high and low for these pieces. This body of work that I'm going to share step by step is this codex, the steps and stages of Sophia's descent and ascent. Every syllabus we cover, you will absolutely hear your own story being told. It is uncanny and it is remarkable. There is a red thread that unites us all and when we all start talking, you will see that we have all had a very similar lifestyle. If your soul knows this story, you would have already met the Demiurge. You would have met that energy. You would have met some of the Archons, some of the Seven Offspring. You would have met them. This is a very real template I'm sharing with you. I don't even know why I'm offering this body of work. I just know that I must speak it. I don't know where we will end at the end of the process. I am simply following that inner impulse to speak as accurately and as clearly as I can. Beloved friends, when you get into bed tonight, ask your own inner peace of Sophia, which is wisdom. Speak directly to that without shame, without unworthiness. You turn towards it with an urgent availability to connect. And ask for that spark, that shard of her own mind, her own knowing, her own gnosis. Take me deeper with this transmission. I want to journey deeper, far beyond spoken word. As we go through this process together, I will be talking in this way every week, but also sharing meditations and prayers. That I have used to open that deeper part of mind that can only just stay conscious. This is the quality of mind that can accept this story quite happily, without tangling itself up in knots with questions. It can filter truth from untruth. Bring in the aspects of truth you're carrying. So, beloved friends, I'm going to pause there. And I'd like to just leave it right there, hovering, rather than open up the space for Q&A that will disrupt where you are. You can always email me a question, but I'd rather just leave it there, percolating, bubbling. You know if you've been called. You'll feel it in your body. I wish you all a very good night, and if it's your morning or afternoon, be sure to revisit this place when you get into bed tonight and ask the peace of Sophia you are carrying. To show you what you are yet to see. It will understand. Beloved friends, good night. I look forward to hopefully having a few messages from you in the coming days.